Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
One of the most difficult things I deal with in my practice is infidelity. And it isn't just the secret life that one partner is living. What it's really about is the broken trust. And there are many other kinds of betrayals that happen in relationships that also can cause serious damage. Being less than forthcoming in any important aspect of the relationship is potentially harmful, whether it's your finances, what's going on at work, who you spend time with, how you feel about each other's families, saying you agree with a decision when you really don't, and so many more things. So to talk about the ways that secrets and lies can destroy relationships, I'm joined by fellow marriage and family therapist, Dr. Darlene Lancer. Darlene, thank you so much for coming on and talking about what should be a relatively, or might on the surface seem to be a relatively simple concept, but it really can tie people up.
Well, yes, I think, you know, people say they tell white lies all the time,
mm-hmm.
and particularly in relationships often, couples or individuals don't want to disclose negative feelings about one another, but there's ways you can do it that are not hurtful, that are helpful to the relationship.
Absolutely.
By not speaking up, you can build resentments, it can lead to passive-aggressive behavior, and I think what you said is exactly right, that certain information that your partner feels or generally would have a right to know, and you withhold that, or tell half-truths or vague statements, you manipulate the information, those are forms of deception.
Yes, so. And I talk about, it's a concept that I was introduced to in a book a long time ago called Radical Honesty, and that, by the way, that's not brutal honesty, but there are so many people out there who believe that complete honesty is harmful. And you wrote a recent article called How Secrets and Lies Destroy Relationships, and you know, you talk about why honesty is beneficial. I know we've already talked about some reasons, why people think it's important, but why is honesty really beneficial in a relationship?
Well, for one thing, it builds intimacy. It means being authentic. So when I first was introduced to the idea about being honest, I thought I had to tell other people the criticisms I have ahead of them. I thought that's what that meant.
Right, yeah. But, oh, yeah, that's the let it all hang out kind of thing.
Yeah, like your slip is showing.
You have spinach in your teeth.
Yeah, you may or may not want to say those things, but that's not what I'm talking about. Emotional honesty is talking about your own experience. So you're saying, I'm uncomfortable, or this bothered me, or I'm feeling uncared for or unimportant or ignored. You're talking about your own experience, and that's being authentic, and that builds closeness in a relationship, and that takes courage to be vulnerable. But it invites your partner to also be vulnerable, and
uh-huh.
when you're not, walls go up. So that's really some of the benefits of it.
Well, and you talk about some things, the intimacy, the vulnerability, the authenticity. I mean, and these are really core to what most people are looking for in a relationship. They're looking for the place where they can feel safe and they can feel heard. And behavior that results in, you know, less than complete honesty about these things really can do some damage. And
you bring up something that that I thought was implicit, but I should make it express, and that the reason, you know, that you want to be authentic and real with your partner is not only so that they will be with you, but that then you can have real connection. And that's what keeps a relationship alive. And usually, you know, when people are first dating, they may reveal a lot, and then they start to get invested, and they want this person to like them and to love them, and then they start trying to please one another, and they withhold their true feelings. And the more you're invested in keeping the relationship, the more fearful you are of being, you know, real. And so what happens is the relationship goes dead, because especially if you're living with someone, little things bother you, resentments build up, you don't get your way about things, and then you retaliate, or, you know, just it gets, you may have do romantic quote-unquote things together, but there's no life in the relationship anymore. People say, where did the romance go?
Right.
The relationship dies because there's not that authentic, that taking that risk and being honest and open and authentic, that's the most exciting thing. It builds passion in a relationship.
Well, and I think some people, I've run across this a couple of times in my practice, where some people are, you know, they kind of sell themselves because they find out what this person who they really like, the kinds of things that person likes, and then they become somebody that they're not really, and then, you know, 20 years down the road, they're really tired of being this inauthentic person, and then everything blows up, where if they could have just, you know, kind of tested the waters and said, you know, here's who I am, and yeah, I mean, rejection is hard, but if you're not being who you truly are, at some point in time, the rejection is going to happen, isn't it?
Well, worse than that, you sacrifice yourself, and that, you know, Kierkegaard said that is the greatest, you know, pain of all. That's the worst kind of agony, is to lose yourself. So that's, and we're talking about codependency.
Right, which is...
done it so much. So it takes, not only does being honest build intimacy, it builds self-esteem.
Hmm.
And every time you do that, it's like you grow and your soul grows. You become more of who you are, taking those risks. It takes courage twice. Once to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And then second, with another person. So a lot of times people, to avoid conflict, and, you know, typically codependents don't like, well, certain kinds of codependents don't like conflict. And so they will accept, go along, or try to please, or not make waves, or brush things under the rug. And not only does it build resentment and walls, but it's like they're giving up themselves. And it harms their self-esteem. They become smaller and smaller. And it's like they become a shell of themselves after a while.
Well, and that's one of the real damages. It isn't just, I mean, yes, if it eventually harms the relationship, but it harms the individuals. And so what are some other ways? I mean, you know, you talked a little bit about things getting dull or lifeless when people aren't being honest. But what other ways is deception harmful?
Well, when there's when you're making lies or omissions, first of all, you know, you might forget them, forget what you said, or forget, you know.
Yeah, so. The truth is relatively easy to remember, provided you're not of a certain age where you just kind of forget things overall. But
yeah, and then the worst part is the longer it's hidden, the greater becomes the obstacle, the hurdle to revelation. Because then, you know, it brings into question every instance of cover-up. And all the times the innocent, your the victim, your partner, relied on you and trusted you know, you, that you were the betrayer. I know of some people who got into a relationship and lied about their age. Say a woman says she's younger or something. And then, like, a couple years later, her partner happens to see her driver's license. Well, if she had just said it in the beginning, you know, when they were dating, it would have been a lot easier. Now, a couple years into the relationship, it was really damaging to trust.
Well, and I think that's one of the key components is, you know, I mean, when I work with couples where infidelity is an issue, yes, they're really not happy about the fact that somebody had got into a relationship with somebody else, but what that really floors them is that they no longer can trust. And that's really, you know, I mean, I tell people that, yes, you can rebuild the trust, but it is the hardest thing either one of those people is ever going to do. And, you know, it's one of the things I told my kids. I said, don't ever lie to me. I said, you're going to get in trouble for whatever it is you did, but you, if you lie to me on top of it, then we've got a bigger problem because then I'm not going to be able to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so something as simplistic as you're talking about you know, somebody's age, I mean, when that comes out, that's a real body blow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, or, you know, something in the person's past that they, I don't know, that they were unfaithful in a prior relationship, that they had an abortion, if that was important to their partner. Or,
uh-huh.
You know, there could be all kinds of, like, secrets in their closet. But it, even in the relationship, when you hide, in the current relationship, when you hide things, it also, you're carrying around this secret. People underestimate the damage it's doing to the secret holder. Because
that is true.
Yeah, you feel guilty. If you something comes, conversation gets close to that topic, you might want to change the subject. You get anxious. You have to avoid certain things.
Sometimes people get angry.
Well, they might try to provoke an argument to just create distance.
Right.
And push the other person, push the innocent person away who's kind of confused. Or they'll avoid, if they're having unfaithful or something, they'll maybe avoid closeness with their spouse or their partner.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they have you have to dance around when you're available and the time, and, you know, it becomes, you feel more guilty. And pretty much universally, honesty is considered a moral issue, a norm. So then if you're violating your own value system, it undermines, again, your self-esteem.
Right.
There's guilt. And if the longer it goes on, it can lead to shame. And shame, guilty.
And shame does some serious damage.
Yeah, because you feel guilty about your action. Maybe you're not revealing something because you feel guilty about it. But then the longer you're dishonest, then you feel ashamed. And I've treated a number of people who were unfaithful in their relationship, and it was broken. And now they didn't realize the shame that they were gonna. The marriage is over. Their partner is divorcing them, and they have this terrible shame that they have to overcome.
So serious damage.
Mm-hmm.
This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having a really important conversation about the dangers of secrets and lies in relationships with fellow marriage and family therapist Dr. Darlene Lancer. And if your relationship has been impacted by betrayal, I know it can feel like there is no way to stay in it. And as I said before, while it is incredibly challenging, it is possible, but it's extremely difficult to do on your own. So if you would like some help exploring your options, I encourage you to contact me today. You can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. Or you can call me at 919-924-0463 and schedule a free, no obligation strategy session to see how you can get your relationship back on track. But, you know, it's, we were talking before the break about how, you know, some of this stuff is really damaging, you know, creates shame, creates guilt, creates some self-esteem issues in the person who's lying. But what are some of the things that the recipient, the person who is being lied to, experiences?
Well, they're confused in the beginning. They may be suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes them anxious,
mm-hmm,
and angry. And then they might feel guilty asking questions of their spouse or their partner.
Yes, because frequently the partner is going to try to deflect those questions.
Yeah, right. Or they may want to look at the person's phone or computer, and then they feel guilty that they're snooping around.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they may start to doubt themselves. So, wait a minute, did I remember this right?
Mm-hmm.
So their self-esteem starts to get undermine, and especially if their partner is not as close with them, so then they feel rejected because the liar is practicing some avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And will probably, the deceiver is going to, if confronted, is going to rationalize, make excuses, may lie some more.
Mm-hmm. May turn it back on them, going, well, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly, blame the victim.
Yeah.
And so both partners participate in some denial, because the liar is going to, in his or her own mind, minimize,
yes,
what they're doing. They're going to justify it. I've known, you know, many betrayers who feel no guilt.
Yeah, that's the really tough part.
Enjoying their affair, and they don't feel guilty about it. They've done what is called compartmentalization.
Mm-hmm.
So they, in order to not face a conflict, one of the ways of doing it is like put it in a drawer somewhere in your unconscious, in your mind, and just rationalize it. They didn't have the guts to speak up to their partner and say that they were unhappy or whatever it was their complaint was. And so they have that conflict, and they don't want to give up maybe the affair, or they don't want to be found out. So they do all these avoidant, aggression, you know, denial, all the ways to try to manage the discrepancy between what they're showing to their partner and who they know they are inside. That gap is what causes shame. And then the victim, when they find out, it just could be very traumatic and definite, depending on, you know, what the deception or betrayal is.
Right, and a lot of times the person who's been betrayed does some things that they're ashamed of. You're talking about, you know, snooping and checking people's phones, and sometimes they go to the extent of hiring a private investigator. I mean, you know, because they're really knowing deep inside that something is wrong, and they're confused, and they're trying to figure it out. And sometimes, you know, the person who's lying to them could run hot and cold. Sometimes they're, you know, trying to do everything to make up for their behavior, even right, though the partner doesn't know that they've even done anything. And then the, yeah, next day or the next week, they're avoidant, and, you know, it's crazy making.
That is crazy making, because they like feel suspicious or something, and then the next thing they know, their partner is just, you know, so loving and effusive, and it is crazy making, and then they're distant again. So but anyway, when the lie comes out, it could be really devastating, and it's harder, really, the longer the relationship, because then it's like you wondered your whole life, how long was this going on? Were we living a lie? It's also very difficult in the height of a romance, you know, when passion is strong. Mm-hmm. And that can be devastating too at that time. So it
You mentioned the devastation in a long-term relationship. I've actually experienced that with adult children whose parents have suddenly decided to get divorced, and then that you know it leads them to question their entire childhood. You know, was it all a lie? And
when the parents never fought or anything, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
just you just not being able to deal with these things. But here's the thing I think a lot of people struggle with is how does anybody decide what to be revealed and what is okay to keep? I mean, I was exposed to a concept called radical honesty, where you're honest about everything. Now, again, not being brutal, so if your partner comes to you and says, you know, hey, do you like this outfit? And you go, well, I like the blue one better, which you're basically telling them, maybe not. That's not the best outfit, but you're not going, oh, my gosh, you look like, you know, you just got your clothes out of the rag bag. But how do people decide what's okay? Is anything okay to withhold or, you know, does... Because, I mean...
Where's the boundary?
Yes, thank you.
Well, you know, I can't say for another person. You really... Mm-hmm. But often it's informed by cultural beliefs or religious beliefs. But nowadays things are more open than they used to be, like... In the old days, you know, you didn't tell your child they were adopted.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that. Or homosexuality and things like that were kept hidden for years. So I think a child has a right to know about their heritage, and especially for medical reasons.
Uh-huh.
And families that keep secrets. You mentioned divorce, but families that keep secrets about criminality, addiction, mental illness, things like that, that they're ashamed about, it leads to real dysfunction in the whole family because the children already know. And I know of one family where they had a mentally ill child, and they tried to cope with it. They pretended like everything was normal.
Oh, wow.
And so the siblings, it really impacted the sibling in a negative way because it was like this fake kind of reality that was, they couldn't name it as mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that we do have a right to privacy, though. This is my opinion.
Uh-huh.
So even...
How do we balance that?
Well, I think it's an individual... decision, but for instance, what goes on between my clients and me, I think they have to decide how much they're comfortable with sharing with a spouse or other people in general, and that's up to them and how it's taken in. If they're telling all to their partner, probably the problem in the whole relationship is enmeshment, that there aren't boundaries.
Right.
And they're not comfortable saying, no, this is private. I think that's an important point, is that you feel that you have a right to say no. So you don't feel like you don't have any choice if your partner asks questions.
Uh-huh.
You do have a right to say, I'm not comfortable discussing that.
Right. I mean, because I know that a lot of people, and many men are this way, but I do think a lot of people who are very private or maybe have had some kind of like the a few of the examples, client examples you've given where they've had some trauma around secrets growing up, that you know, people aren't necessarily comfortable or don't know how to share. And I think that one of the things that partners can do is get too interrogational.
Oh, that was what I was going to bring up. Like, you might have a spouse or a partner who is very controlling, and we'll cross-examine you.
Mm-hmm.
What did you talk to your, you know, your girlfriend about? You know, what did you talk to your mother? Did you mention me?
Mm-hmm.
And they start trying to control and manipulate the conversation and intimidate their partner so that they start revealing everything, and then they use it against them. So I think you have a right to have, you know, private conversations with your friends and relatives and not be bullied into disclosing everything.
And I do think that it can be helpful to kind of have these conversations in general because, you know, I am pretty open. If somebody asks me a question, within reason, I'll answer it. But my husband is very, very private, and
mm-hmm.
I know that. So, you know, I won't answer certain questions because it would violate his privacy. Not, I mean, I don't care whether somebody
mm-hmm.
knows this
mm-hmm.
or not, but it violates my husband's privacy. So I think that we have to have these conversations, and this happens all the time with sharing things with friends and family. It's like, what's okay to share about our relationship with other people? Because I think that impacts whether or not I'm going to share this information with you if I know it stops with you and doesn't get shared, you know, with everybody, you know, with
mm-hmm.
everybody you run across, including the bus driver.
Well, your spouse has let you know his boundaries and you respect them, even
mm-hmm.
though they're different than your boundaries.
And, you know, I think that this is a hard, sometimes it's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
And again, because people are different, and
well, yeah, I mean, you have to talk to, especially when you're forming a relationship, it's important because that sets a precedent. Like, is it okay for some people it's fine and other people it's not to correspond with an ex,
uh-huh.
you know, girlfriend or boyfriend, to go out with an ex, you know, just casually
uh-huh.
for dinner with an ex. They're saying, well, we're just friends now. That's the relationship is over. Well, maybe it's not okay with the new partner. Or putting, now with your social media, have all my ex-boyfriends or girlfriends on my, you know, friends and pictures of them and liking them. And, you know, it could create jealousy and instability in the relationship. And when someone isn't used to having a committed relationship, they will have different, they may just be very open and flirting with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so their partner has to speak up about what they're comfortable with or not. And on the other hand, I know couples that are very open and they share when they're attracted, you know, so-and-so,
uh-huh.
very attracted to that man or woman. And that's really positive that they feel so safe with one another that they can share even if they're lusting after someone else. And that diffuses the energy of it because now it's in, you know, it's been divulged in the sanctity of the marriage. And so the person who is attracted to a third party doesn't have to hold that secret and it
uh-huh.
becomes a safe place to talk about it. Talk about
right.
your
and,
sexual
and
fantasies.
Right,
yeah,
and yeah, because
like
I think that's, you know, that's one of the things is, you know, and it's like how if I don't trust you, I'm sure I'm not going to share my deepest, darkest, or, you know,
right.
most personal fantasies because, and that's really, I think, where this is about is that we want to trust and be trusted, and the foundation of that is being honest, and if, you know, and being able to talk about what kind of information it's important for me to have as your partner, and how do
yeah.
we, how do we negotiate that?
Yes. What are the boundaries? What is okay and what's not okay? And at the same time, making by your openness, it creates it deepens the bond
uh-huh.
in the couple. So there's less reason to go outside the marriage because now you're meeting each other's emotional needs.
Right, which is an absolutely critical component of a successful marriage.
Yeah.
So
one thing,
go ahead.
There's one thing I don't want to forget to mention, and that is victims often First of all, they will maybe go in denial in the beginning, mm-hmm. even when they find out.
Oh, sure.
And that's natural because it takes a long time to digest the truth of what happened, because now they may lose confidence in who their partner is and even who their even reality itself suddenly doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
And they don't trust themselves. And so they may go back and forth with, who is this person that I was in love with? Do I really know them? And go in and out of anger and loving feelings. And I want to just warn against blaming yourself and feeling humiliated and taking on the shame, because you're not responsible for someone else's behavior or someone
right.
else's lies. Even
and
if there are problems in the relationship, they could have spoken up about it.
Exactly. And I think it's critically important, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because when our body gets that kind of a shock, and it is a physical shock depending on what the
Absolutely.
Lie is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, our bodies and our brains are designed to, you know, denial is not a bad thing. I mean, yes, if we stay in it, it is, but it's a way to process that initial shock. And you know, and that's why, you know, I talk about the stages of grief, that it isn't just when a person dies, it's when a dream or something important to you, like mm-hmm. your relationship, dies. And so you going through all those stages is, like you said, right. perfectly normal. And
yeah, you have to grieve the what was.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
it's denial dissipates like drip by drip. It's not like, oh, I know the truth and now that's behind me. So
right. I think it's Esther Perel who talks about that, yes, you can recover, you can create a relationship after infidelity or betrayal of any kind, but what you have to do is grieve the old relationship and create a new one, because the old
right.
one is gone. And that's
yeah.
a really hard thing for people to grasp. But this has been a really terrific conversation, and I think it's a really important conversation. But can you please let the listeners know where they can learn more about you mm. and your work, and
thank you.
How to have more honesty in their relationships?
Well, I have a website called whatiscodependency.com, and I have a covering all this and more extensively in a blog post called The Cost of Secrets and Lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote Codependency for Dummies and another book, Conquering Shame and Codependency.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of e-books that could be helpful, including How to Speak Your Mind, Become Assertive and Set Limits, and
which
a webinar,
great. Yeah.
How to Be Assertive, a webinar, How to Build Your Self-Esteem, and an e-book on overcoming self-criticism, and also one... Someone who's getting over, who was a big, you know, was feeling guilty. I have an e-book that lays out it's a whole workbook on overcoming, it's called Freedom from Guilt and Blame, over Finding Self-Forgiveness. And I do have a seminar on my website that you can get called Breakup Recovery. And there's numerous articles on breakups.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information, and so there's lots of ways to tackle this really important topic. And you know, deception and dishonesty is more than just telling a direct lie. It's all the things that are held back that you or your partner really need to know. And real intimacy is based in honesty and trust. And if you want that intimacy, you have to be willing to be open. And secrets and lies will never, never, ever, 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 never get you there. So contact, you know, go to Darlene's website. Keep listening to the show. Keep learning how to have a better relationship. And until next week, stay loving.